This is Tycho Brahe from Penny Arcade, and you're listening to the webcomic Beacon.
Now broadcasting the webcomic Beacon.
Ready whenever you are.
Alrighty.
I'm good.
We are now recording episode 59 of the webcomic Beacon.
My wow, name is it's Tanya. Not 59 at all.
What? 49. I've already screwed it up. And cussed. This is why I shouldn't be the host.
Let's go. Keep going.
It's episode 49 of the webcomic Beacon. This is your hostess for the today is Tanya of Betaphone.com. And with me, as always, is Fess of FessandErnst.com.
Yay!
And today also we have Al Stefan. Do you have a URL where you can be accessed, or are you just at Squidworks?
Nothing that's been updated in ages.
Forever. We have Al Stefan, whom I know through Squidworks, and today we're going to be talking about various graphic file types and different programs that you can use to produce your webcomics cheaply and easily and with great quality. So hi, Al.
Hello.
First, I'm going to ask you, who are you and why should we listen to you?
He's Al. You just said his name's Al.
Well, but now we have to know why we should listen to him. Why are you an authority, Al?
I'm an authority to some people, but I have experience in basically just graphics work, and I've been using various types of file formats for a long time, actually. I've been using like open source type things, type software for quite some time. But I know basically I'm kind of familiar with like the big dogs like Photoshop and things of that nature also.
Okay. The reason that I decided to pull Al onto the show today is in past shows, Fess has had some issues with maybe little graphic design problems, some file formatting questions.
What? Have I? No, I haven't.
Yes. You have.
When?
Do you remember the vector argument? You remember the vector argument?
Oh, where like it automatically makes you cheat by making you think you can draw smoother? What?
I wouldn't like say that.
See, and that's why we have Al on, is because Al wouldn't say that, and then he can explain to you why you're deluded.
Gee,
that was the whole point. So we'll start actually really simple. If you could just give us a quick rundown of the common graphic file formats and what differentiates them.
Well, in terms of style of, since we already talked about the vector stuff, vector is more of a, because what most people are familiar with dealing with is the bitmap images, which is, pixel-based, where you have the individual little pixels making up the image, which, for most part, mostly is all well and good, except for when you want to go and make it a larger image. Like, I know you originally had problems because you had bitmap images of your webcomic before, and you wanted to go and try putting a book together. And it's fine if you want, like, a 3-inch comic book. But, but when you have vector, you can automatically expand that to be any size you want because it's not pixel-based. Each of the lines on that page are basically a mathematical equation to where it's basically able to, that's how it makes it so smooth, as Fez put it.
And just for the record, for some amateurs out there that may not know this, .bmp is the extension for a bitmap, and that's also what a base form of a freshly scanned PSD image would be, correct? Like Photoshop?
Well, it's a raw compilation of the pixels, yes. It's not a compressed version because things like JPEG and PNG are compressed even PSD I wouldn't think would be compressed, because that would just kind of defeat the purpose of saving a PSD. But PSD is a proprietary file format specific to Adobe Photoshop.
Right.
What's that?
Oh, no, you're still going.
Okay. But the bad part about the vector graphics, in terms of going back to that, is the fact that you can't, it's harder to put more detail into that sort of file format, just because it's, the lines are pretty much just solid colors.
Right.
Yes, you can do gradients and things like that, but it's not as easy to sketch and things. Like if you're using a Wacom tablet or something like that, it's much harder to go and sketch and make that a much more realistic image.
Right, and also because vector is, you know, basically memorizing all of these little mathematical equations, as the image gets larger and larger, your computer may suffer from a stroke. Mine frequently suffers from a stroke if I try to color in vector, you know, because now it's memorizing those larger fields, and it tends to bog down pretty quickly. But I do all my inking in Inkscape, which we'll talk about later, which is a vector-based program that Al turned me onto when he saw me doing it in Photoshop, the worst possible way for my art style ever. Hey, stop it. Okay, I have a dog fight in the living room. All right, we're going to stop that. Okay, so you talked a little bit about, you know, JPEG and GIFs being a compression-based format. Can you just give a quick definition of what that means and how that can be bad?
Well, we'll start with JPEG, because that's probably one most people are familiar with. Basically, that's the one that most your cameras and things like that use, and it's the most common format that you see all over the internet. And it is compression-based, so basically, if you play with your compression levels on whatever graphics program you have, if you start making it more and more compressed to get that file size down, you notice that the image quality degrades quite significantly the further you go down.
Right.
And you start seeing all those compression artifacts on there. But the thing is, it's also a lossy format. And what that means is that the more times you transfer that file from system to system or over the internet and things of that nature, the more that same image degrades.
So every time you move
that image, it degrades.
And does that also count for every time you save it?
Yes.
Damn.
Okay.
Every time you recompress that thing, it goes ahead and makes it worse and worse. GIF is about the same way, only the GIF is an indexed image to where you can have a max of 256 colors in a GIF image, whereas JPEG does not have that same problem.
And that's something you notice a lot of the webcomics that I've looked at, especially, well, more so the amateur webcomics, you see those halos around images where, you have the line art, and then around the line art is sort of this little halo of color. And that's what happens when you're repeatedly compressing an image like a JPEG.
Or if you just compress it too much. If you're just focusing on getting that file size down, you compress it way too much. That's basically those compression artifacts from that. And basically, if you have a comic that does have a lot of flat colors on it, GIF or PNG would be a better option. PNG.
Okay, now.
What's that?
No, that's what I was going to ask you. Explain PNG.
Okay, PNG is different from the other two. PNG, first of all, is a lossless format, so that you can transfer it time and time again, and it will not lose quality. And you can even resave it time and time again, it will not lose quality because it is a lossless format. Comparing it, and PNG comes in two versions, to where you have a full true color version, and then you have an 8-bit version similar to GIF, where it has indexed colors and things. And the main drawback to PNG in terms of having it the full color image compared to JPEG is that traditionally they tend to be larger. But on the flip side of that, if your comic has a lot of flat colors, say, like, just a typical webcomic and things of that nature, it can a lot of times be smaller than a JPEG also. So it does have that flip side to it. And then if you go and save it as an 8-bit version, it will get even smaller still because it's only limited to 256 colors. So if you don't have a whole lot of colors in your comic, you might as well go with, like, the whole GIF version.
Right.
And
next thing about you, what's that?
Tanya, you were asked in chat why your comic is in a JPEG and not in something else, since given the flat colors and.
Yeah, I originally started in JPEG because I had no idea what I was doing, and well, you know, it's honest, and I kept that up, I guess, because it was habitual. When I come back from hiatus, that's going to change. I was also under the delusion that PNG was not compatible with all browsers. And it certainly is now, if it wasn't when I started. So I had this bizarre terror-filled notion that there were going to be people that were just going to see a big blank screen and I'd get complaints. But PNG is compatible with all browsers now.
Yeah, there's only one part of PNG that is not compatible with all browsers, and that's the alpha transparency and the true color.
Right.
So if you plan on having that, then you know that's only in IE6. IE7 took care of that, and now the alpha transparency shows up properly.
Yeah, and even then, we've all seen my comic.
Whenever I've done transparencies, I've always used GIF, and I sacrifice the color for it.
Yeah. And if it's a lot of flat colors, and you notice like a degradation in the colors with the GIF, I would just give the PNG a quick try just to see what the file size difference would be.
Yeah, I got a lot of shades and gradients. Shades and gradients don't really work well in GIF at all.
I'm not sure.
Like, okay, something like okay, you got see. I don't know which kind of which webcomic I'm thinking of, but there's like some that are like, you know, scanned painted, or they're painted in Photoshop, like they look like painted or colored in such a gradient-y like way. Obviously a GIF is not going to be able to handle something like that. So for as far as something with lots of shades, lots of gradients, lots of transitions and such, what would you think would be better, PNG or a JPEG?
It depends on what you feel about. You have a trade-off here. You have a trade-off on quality or file size.
Right.
So if you don't mind having the extra file size, or if you think your readers don't mind the extra file size in terms of downloading such a large file, then go PNG. But if file size is rather important, a JPEG should suffice. I would keep a lossless version of your own in terms of a backup, though.
Of course.
Yeah. And you can actually go, there's a website called netmechanic.com. Mm-hmm. And if you go there, it will, you can upload an image and you can see it, you know, compression versus like a PNG, a lossless format, and it'll tell you how long that web page is going to load in all different browsers and with different or not different browsers, but in different transfer speeds. So you'll know. And if it's going to take, you know, more than a minute to load your comic, nobody's going to stay. But, you know, if you have like a Sunday Funnies kind of comic, a strip comic, you shouldn't have any problem doing it in PNG.
Yeah, and then if you do have, like, a comic that has a lot of flat colors and stuff, I'd just save it as an 8-bit and give yourself even more file save space, or if I can actually talk today, have, like, a much smaller file size.
I got a question in the chat room. Is PNG a small, easy digested file size for dial-up users?
It really depends on your comic and the size of your comic.
Yeah.
In terms of the 8-bit version, most definitely, because it's basically actually smaller than GIF images.
8-bit PNG, you're saying?
Yeah.
So that'd be like a black and white?
Index color like a GIF. Basically, there's a max of 256 colors on there.
Okay.
But PNG will be larger if you have something that has a very painted look to it, though.
Right.
Right.
Well, okay, you're talking about file size, speed of the computer. Well, that's all pretty fairly constant as far as file size. What should the general file size be for the typical you know, Charter cable high-speed internet that, you know, some of most people have. I mean, I heard that about 300 kilobits or 0.3 megabytes is about, like, what you want to aim for the size, file size of anyone's comic, generally. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it just depends on how you think, how long you think people would stick around. Like, you know, small, there's going to be a very big difference in terms of depending on the size, the pixel size of your comic.
Right.
But I'd say, like, I wouldn't go over 300. Definitely not.
Well, I definitely do. Maybe I should reevaluate things. Let's see. One thing that I wanted to mention that we're talking about file types is, have either of you have heard of the image viewing program IrfanView?
Yes.
Do you use that at all?
No.
I love that program. it has it's like if I have a because you can open PSD files in there, like you can you may not be able to copy paste something into it if it's way too big, but you can like double click on PSD so it'll open it all together, and then that's what I like to do. Then I like to save as, and under JPEG I got this scale 1 to 100%, I guess, for save quality. I always save all of my images at 90. 85, 90 to 100 all can look fairly the same. You can save it as a progressive JPEG or not. Save it as grayscale JPEG or not. You can disable color subsampling. That's where they'll change colors, especially if you get like a blue and red right next to each other. That could totally screw it up if you do subsampling. And mine looked really good with that. It also has different options for GIFs. PNGs also has where is it? PNG. Dang it, where? Okay, there it is. Portable Networks Graphic. You can select to save transparent color. You can select a compression level all the way from 0 to no compression level to 9, the best compression level, and they say the default is 6. You can do binary encoding or ASCII encoding. As an icon, you can save transparent color. It has lots of options, and it's a free program. This is what I use, and I get better JPEG results, and smaller and just as good JPEG results than saving as a JPEG from Photoshop.
Right.
I'm not too keen on Photoshop's PNG file saving ability either.
and MS Paints, forget it. You know, that sucks complete butt.
Yeah, don't bother with that one.
Yeah.
But I'll put a link in the show notes for that. It's like I say, I take the BMP or the PSD of the original file, and I save as, and I get some pretty nice conversions and file sizes with that. So people out there, you can go to irfanview.com, IrfanView.com, and check it out for your guys' selves.
Woo-hoo. Why don't we take a break, and then we will come back, and we will talk about open source programs.
Yay!
Thank you for calling the hotline for thegeekmedia.com. If you are a fan of social media, podcasts, machinima, video games, or music, please press the number 1 and someone will be with you soon. If
you are not prepared,
please dial 0 and an operator will be with you shortly. Thank you again for calling thegeekmedia.com's customer service hotline. And please remember, we're always available 24/7 at www.thegeekmedia.com.
How's it going so far for you hosting?
Whatever. It's fine. We haven't talked about boobs. It's been like 20 minutes.
Well, we can talk about boobs later.
Right now. I was using that as a measure of success.
So are we succeeding?
I'm proud of myself.
Oh, okay.
Are we back yet?
We can be.
Apparently someone wants boobs now, so.
See, okay, my girlfriend took me riding yesterday on some horses with her at her friend's place, and yeah. I rode a horse for the first time, and I rode the horse bareback, and I got it up to a trot and everything, and I realized that my man boobs were jiggling a little bit.
I don't think that's the kind of boobs he was hoping for, but.
And we're back. We've been back, but I just wanted to be funny.
We've been back. That's nice. That's good. All right, we're going to talk about open source programs, and the reason we're going to talk about open source programs is because they're free, and we're all poor, and free is good. And as it turns out, you know, the $300 that I could have spent on an old version of Photoshop really just made my particular drawing style a protracted mess. And all along, I could have been using the lovely free programs that Al showed me and saved myself a lot of hassle. Since I've switched from Photoshop to Inkscape, which we're going to talk about, I have cut my comicking time from 6 to 8 hours to 2 to 3 hours, which is wonderful. And I have other things to do.
And this uses vectors and stuff? And
yeah, vectors and stuff.
Cheats your lines? And, okay.
There's no cheating.
Okay. I got a quick question about vectors. Now, this is vectorized while you're drawing in it, or what if you work with scanned work, and you scan in your black and white lines and everything?
There's ways to take your line work as long as it's a good enough contrast, because contrast is everything when it comes to
straight black and white image. It should be.
It's a straight black and white. Inkscape and Illustrator both have options built into them. At least Illustrator, you know, starting with like CS3.
Okay.
They have options built into them to where they can trace line work and make them vector.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I have imported line work into Inkscape without any problem. So I know it's possible, but we're going to backtrack a little bit.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. So, okay.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Tell us a little bit about the main, just kind of name, like the main open source graphics programs that you're familiar with and that you recommend.
The three open source ones that I tend to mess around with the most is, first of all, GIMP. That's the raster graphics type editor, and that's at GIMP.org, and multi-platform, just like most open source stuff, so Linux, Windows, Mac should all be able to get it. Then in terms of vector, and that's the one you're most familiar with, and that's Inkscape, and that's Inkscape.org. And then in terms of 3D graphics, I tend to use Blender, which is at Blender3D.org.
Okay, so let's start with GIMP.
Okay.
Just talk a little bit about it.
This is about as close as you come to an equivalent of Photoshop in terms of the open source programs. It does a lot of the things that Photoshop does. It doesn't do everything that Photoshop does. There's a reason you're paying upwards of $600 for freaking Photoshop. For everything else that most people do, GIMP seems to work just fine. And as of recently, they've added a new core, because this is one of the big gripes I've had about GIMP before, is that I couldn't do CMYK type color because mm-hmm. GIMP itself couldn't handle it. But recently they had a new release, and it has a new core in there to where they can handle higher bit depth images, they can handle CMYK colors, and so that type of arguments are all out the door now.
Good deal.
I still have one argument for GIMP. When I first started, does it still have a million freaking windows to open up?
It has three.
Three? It used to be like, I remember just taking up too much space, no place to put anything. This is back before 800 by 600 resolution I had, but so years ago. So I wasn't sure mm-hmm. if they changed anything.
You can still open up a crap ton of windows if you want, but you can also rearrange them all into various tabs and parts of the existing windows.
Okay.
So you can kind of like mix and match and make your own type of windows that come with it. And that's kind of a nice thing about it. Now, there are going to be people that still don't like the UI. I personally don't mind it too much myself. There's like little things, at least on the Windows desktop, when you click on the image, then it goes on top of your toolboxes and stuff like that, and that's kind of annoying. But when you go and use Linux, it's more native environment, it actually stays behind the toolboxes.
Hmm. Oh, okay. So for us poor Windows OS users, we're just hosed.
Yeah, and I have to assume that has to do something with like the toolkit that they're using for the graphical images and stuff. But altogether, it should be fine. And, you know, with today's screen sizes and things of that nature anymore, it mm-hmm. tends to be not too bad because you can just keep your windows right there. It's not too much of an issue. And for those people that are using Wacom tablets and things of that uh-huh. nature, it does have full support for those. So you can use pressure sensitivity, opacity, and all that fun stuff with all your brushes.
Which is very cool.
Yes.
All right. Now we'll go ahead and talk a little bit about Inkscape. And, I mean, mm-hmm. I know we kind of already have before, but it's basically the free version of Illustrator.
Well, it's a free vector graphics editor. I have tried getting back into Illustrator as of recently, and it's just been thoroughly annoying the hell out of me. Just because like I've gotten so used to, and I guess I take for granted in Inkscape.
Right.
Can't happen. It's just a pain in the ass to go and like meld various types of shapes and things together where I can easily do that in Inkscape with like quick little key presses. And then one thing that Illustrator does not have that Inkscape does is you can actually use a gradient and fade to a transparent.
Yeah.
Which I'm not understanding why you can't do that. And Inkscape also has where you can do drop shadows and things like that, like vector-based type drop shadows that are built right into it, all through just various sliders and things.
Which is very helpful.
Yes.
I've been playing with it a little bit. And, you know, I have to say that the other thing that I like about the open source programs is that if you go to a forum where, you know, you need a little help, they're the ones building the damn thing. So, you know, you don't have as much problem getting help. They're certainly not charging you for, you know, minutes of your time on the phone and, you know, going through this protracted thing where they start off by assuming you're an idiot and asking if the computer's on and, you know, all of that stuff. They're actual people, and they've been very helpful, even if, you know, you come in like I have, just with no freaking clue what you're doing. So, on the help level, it's been very nice. Now, well, you're the only one I know that uses Blender.
Yes, that's because not a whole lot of people in terms of webcomics and things like that use 3D either. So,
yeah.
3D is kind of like another monster, and there's some uses for it. And like Blender, you know, 3D most people tend to do animation with, but you can fully use it to do 2D type graphics also. In terms of quality, it's been making leaps and bounds. And they've made a couple short films with it. They're doing like a little video game with it. And then it has all kinds of like image tweaking abilities and stuff in it too, to where you could make a 3D image look like a 2D image also. So if actually go to the time of like building up everything ahead of time, building your characters, getting them rigged up and everything like that, it could actually save time. It's just a lot of preparation to make that happen.
So maybe that's what we should do the next year for 24-hour comic challenge. Could we get all the characters ready before and just drop them in CD?
Nope, you can't do that. Nope, you can't do that. You can't prepare your characters before you start.
Yeah.
See, you're always looking to cheat, aren't you, Tanya?
Yes. Yes, I am. This is my last 24-hour comic challenge. I'm still wounded. I'm done. We're just moving right off of that. Can you actually, do you have the links for the little short films that they've done with Blender? Because they're
right on the Blender site.
Freaking hilarious.
Let's see.
But will it blend? That's the question.
And frappe?
You put it in a computer, throw it in the blender, it will blend. typing with one hand here because my phone's in the other hand right now.
Somebody wanted a quick shout out for a graphic converter at lemkesoft.com. I don't know what it is, but I think it's similar to Earth and View, what I was talking about. But, stuff for people to check out. Just getting in there since there's a little bit of a lull.
Well, I'm looking up URLs.
Are there any graphic programs kind of on the horizon or new plugins? Oh, here's the question I was going to ask before I forget. Are there any compatibility, I'm sure, problems so far with GIMP, Inkscape, and Blender, and Vista?
What do you mean? In terms of not being able to run the software?
Yeah. Does Vista eat them?
Not that I'm aware. I haven't heard of anyone talking about that. Usually the developers are quite vigilant of that sort of thing, and they would have gotten bug reports in there.
What about
the new operating system? They have to support it if they're going to support Windows, so they're keeping an eye on it.
Do you think they support
x64? They're 64-bit versions of things, but normally those tend to be for Linux.
Well, because it's like I'm building a 64x2 computer. It's a 64-bit computer, and I'm told I can still just go ahead and run regular 32-bit XP on it. Because I don't want Vista freaking at all. And I asked if I should get the 64-bit XP, and he says I don't really need to. I mean, there's some compatibility issues. But can't you still run 32-bit software on there?
Yes. 64-bit XP is kind of like the... 64-bit XP is not really XP 64-based. What they did is they just took the server version of XP and then dumped some of the XP things on it. So it's not really a true 64-bit desktop operating system for the most part. Vista would be better if you could hold out. Windows 7, from what I've seen, it should be a hell of a lot better. but you can run 32-bit programs on any of those systems because it has like a 32-bit emulation layer to it.
Okay.
And because the overhead for 64-bit usually isn't as high, you usually don't notice any kind of speed decrease. In fact, most times you see a little bit of a performance boost from it.
Okay.
But the next thing about 64, and it being we are working in graphics, the more RAM you have, the better. And the nice thing about 64-bit software or operating systems is that it can handle more of that RAM.
Yeah, more than 3 gigs.
The actual limit for 64-bit is 4 gigabytes. Windows tends to not like that.
Wait, are you saying 64-bit XP can only read up to 4 gigs?
No. 64-bit can handle, I can't recall the number, but it's some god-awful huge number we haven't thought of yet.
Good, because I'm thinking of going up to whole 8.
Yeah, and if you have a 64-bit operating system, you can handle that.
Sweetness. Oh, okay. My question related to the topic is PSD files. Lots of people use them. Layered files.
Yes.
What is...
Yes.
How do... You know where I'm going with this. Explain.
Mm-hmm. GIMP can read some PSD files, and GIMP has its own layered... GIMP and Inkscape and even Blender all have layering built into them. Full support for that is basically in their own file formats. With Inkscape, it's just an SVG image, so it's nothing horribly special, which is a standardized image of W3C in your browser. Every browser except for IE can read an SVG image, which is a pure vector image. but GIMP can do layers just like Photoshop can. I've been able to even open up PSD files inside of GIMP. Depending on the complexity or how many of the more advanced features that they're using inside of Photoshop.
Right, but if you're just using image layers and text layers, pretty much should be good?
Yeah. When you start using, like, the effects and the shapes and things like that, that's when you start running into troubles. And the groupings will give you a little bit of trouble, too, but that's something that you can work around just for the fact that it just doesn't... When you use the groupings... it can GIMP itself does not have groups of layers.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, it just has basic one on top of the other type of layers. So when you start using the groups, it tends to, it won't break GIMP and the file will open up in it, but your visibility settings will be off when you open it up in GIMP.
Did you say invisibility settings will be off or visibility settings?
Your visibility.
Okay.
The little eye icon.
Okay, but what about... okay, so the basic program, what about between the other free programs? Can you, are you saying you could also swap their layered programs between each other fairly well? And what about loading their layered files into Photoshop?
You can't load a GIMP image in its native file format into Photoshop because Photoshop does not have support for it.
Right.
And I doubt they ever will because they don't want to support it.
Right.
Inkscape, being said it's mainly just SVG images, for some reason Photoshop, at least in CS3, would not load an SVG image, but Illustrator itself can load an SVG image because
right.
they're just vector-based. Because Illustrator can actually dump out to SVG, but its SVG support is rather lame. I actually was able to dump an SVG file into my Firefox browser, and it rendered out perfectly. I went and imported that very same file into Illustrator, and it was all warped and stuff like that. It was just weird.
Interesting.
Because SVG has a standard. It's an open source format. It's right there. Adobe can go and grab it and just make it work, but for some reason have rather poor support for SVG.
Huh.
Fun.
Yeah,
what about moving files in between Inkscape and GIMP?
You can actually put Inkscape files into GIMP. It just makes a rasterized version of it or imports them as a path.
Okay.
So you can use paths in GIMP just like you can in Photoshop.
Excellent.
And then Blender can also take Inkscape files because it's just an SVG format.
Right.
Inkscape itself does not take GIMP and Blender itself does not take GIMP files. But they're mainly looking for flat files in general, not layered files.
Right.
So you can import PNGs, JPEGs, and things like that into Inkscape Blender for texture files or just like various images to place inside the file.
Hmm.
Okay. I think we're ready for another break.
I think so too. All right.
Okay.
We'll take another quick break. When we come back, more.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com.
Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at WebcomicBeacon.com/live.
Navigation on this comic all fucked up.
All right.
I'm still waiting for it to go back.
Are you sure you click? Anyway, we're back. And, hey, I got some stuff to talk about real quick. We're talking about open source programs. What a coincidence. I want to talk about some open source characters. if you go to Misadventure, as in M-I-S-S, as in like a lady person, misadventure.journeyeverywhere.net, you'll be taken to a Global Comic Jam website that is working on a Jenny Everywhere Comic Jam. That's where you go. It's run by Scott D.M. Simmons, who has worked on some Jenny Everywhere stuff. You can see at the Shifter Archive. And he's heading up this 24-page... or about 24-page comic. That's a forum comic jam. You sign up in the forum, and everybody will get 2 weeks to draw, up to 2 weeks to draw the image. that will go after the previous page. So far, there's only two pages up right now. Someone's working on the third page. I'm going to be working on page four, but yeah, Benj Christensen, who also works on some Jenny Everwork projects, such as the Jenny Everwork Chronicles, which he should update soon, more often. And it should be really fun to just get involved. It's like a print comic size and everything. So anyone who's into Comic Jams and Jenny Everywhere, go ahead and check that out at misadventure.jennyeverywhere.net. And on that subject of open source characters, I'm going to talk about public domain characters. There's this website at freewebs.com/publicdomainheroes/index.html in case it needs to be specific. Public domain superheroes. These are old school comic book heroes. The original characterizations of them are public domain now because it's been that long. This means you could use the original Daredevil and a few other characters as well. And you make your own little variations, as long as they don't look like any of the later versions of these characters. It has a big collection of, it's sorted in alphabetical order, and it also lists a couple of other characters that are not from the prints, such as Octobriana. Well, Octobriana has her own little unique history, but that's also a public domain character. Jenny Everywhere is listed on here as well, which is really cool that they did that. And the guy who did the site as well, he and his, as what I'm told, he and his friends, or one of his friends, had created their own characters, which they were going to like release as public domain as well. They're also superheroes. So you guys can check that out as well. I'll put the links for this stuff in the notes. So, yeah, check that out at freewebs.com/publicdomainheroes. And one more thing. I just got an email from Aaron. He sent us a link to webcomicscollage.com. It's kind of, well, I don't know. There's a bunch of little 40 by 40 pixel squares up on the whole website, and you can submit your own little 40 by 40 icon with a link to your webcomic, and it's basically kind of like your ad, your miniature ad here. The first year is free, and then after that it's $3 a year. So maybe it's okay, just fine for go ahead doing this for the first year, because I don't really see the advantage of actually paying for something like this. It's kind of, if you ever remember the $1 million ad project or whatever it was, the $3 million, yeah, or the $1 million website, it's kind of like that, I guess, only, I don't know, I guess it's almost the same kind of idea, more or less. but anyway, so that's that. You guys can check that out at webcomicscollage.com.
And also in the same vein as what you're talking about in terms of the open source type characters and comics and things of that nature,
mm-hmm.
There's also a licensing type option that you can use for your own comics called Creative Commons.
Oh, yes.
Where it's kind of a roll your own, so creativecommons.org for if you wanted that. But it basically kind of rolls your own to where you can allow people to go and remix your comics and things of that nature, but still keep them from going and making money off of it, per se.
It's a very popular
different type of licensing, yes. So let people have fun with it, but just don't make money off it.
Right. And there's like multiple, on Creative Commons, there's multiple different ways you can construct a license. It can make it very open or very free or very restrictive still. So, yeah, check that out, creativecommons.org, I believe.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah.
I'm done.
You're done? Are we moving on to our spotlight? Searchlight?
No, searchlight.
A freak. Are we doing a spotlight today? Because I have one, so we're doing it.
Fine.
Go to searchlight first.
Okay, searchlight.
Do we need a noise?
Doo-doo.
Says that we're in searchlight.
There, searchlight.
Just need a spotlight turning on noise somewhere. I'm sure we can
find that would be for the spotlight.
Yeah, that'd be the
spotlight's different.
Yeah, we have a couple different lights.
There's too many sirens. Freaking
lights. And then if we ever do a rescue, we got flashing spinning lights.
Great.
Searchlight. Biff the Vampire at biff.profeca.com. You go first.
Oh, I go first?
Yeah.
The first thing I would like to say is that I clicked the button for the first comic, and 2 minutes later, it stopped being pixelated and actually came in sharply. So I've gotten, in the time I've had this last, I don't know, 7 minutes, I've been able to read three. So I'm not sure how they're, you know, how it's working with their site, how they're uploading their images, but it's
working fine for me, Tanya. You just must suck.
That's yeah, right. It's progressive loading on the JPEG. See, did you hear that? Progressive loading on JPEG. So I get an immediate image. It's just way too blurry to see or read, and then I have to kind of like wait for it to appear.
Yeah, if you wait for it, it'll eventually get nice and sharp.
Yeah, and then it's crisp, and it seems to be.
Well, I got high-speed internet with Power Boost from Charter.
You know, Power Boost only lasts for 7 minutes, 7 seconds. Right?
I don't really care. I'm just making fun. Tanya, will you stop disappearing on me and connect your computer to the frickin' wall now? Hello?
What the hell? I'm here.
Fine. All right, go.
I'm here.
Talk. Say things.
I am. Christ. All right, so it takes a little too long to load. Like I said, I've only had a chance to read like four of them. It seems like decent black and white artwork, kind of you know, basic line work. But I'm not sure what you want me to say with four comics. There's a vampire in it, and there was a sneeze joke. Three comics in.
It looks like a vampire that's living with a girl or some, I don't know. Is it a roommate or a girlfriend?
And their last button says lust.
That's the font. No, it's a black and white, typically a newspaper style comic. One thing I know, going through the things, they're getting like tons of like guest art or so art injected in between, which is a little. I find it's okay personally. I think if people want to do that, but it seems to happen very frequently. But that's a minor little thing. It seemed to start out as a few throwaway joke gag-a-day stuff, and it looks like now it's starting to actually develop. And, you know, as with many comics, you know, they'll be weird, you know, unsure at the beginning. And then they actually start to develop into something, and that's really kind of cool. The art's fairly solid. Well, it's solid art. There's consistent drawing, as I guess what I'm trying to get at, which is always good because it makes it more like you have your style. It's there, and unlike mine, which kind of looks, it can look like ass, or it can look pretty good, or ass, or decent, or holy crap, and.
Nice.
So anyway, yeah, it's kind of little. I haven't read that much, but of course it's a searchlight, so we know how we not prepare too much for the searchlight.
The first shots seem like fairly slapsticky. There's a lot of like sneezing and falling down, and it's cute. I need to read a little farther to get to know the characters. To see if. You know, a larger story. Oh, look at that network timeout. A larger story to be.
That has to be you. I'm skipping. Hey, there's a cat girl in this.
Yeah, I'm just popping from page to page. It's loading nice and quick for me.
See, Tanya, you suck.
This is nice. If I have Skype up and anything else, I'm hosed. I'm on a laptop. Give me a break. An old beleaguered laptop. It's geriatric and sad.
Oh. Actually, it looks like it'd be like a. It's. I'm actually skipping through it. It's actually looking like something I'll actually sit down and actually read for a while. Kind of interesting. It looks like it's going to be like one of those kind of awe kind of stuff. It's got some of those kind of moments I'm looking at.
Cutie.
Yeah. So, go, like I said, this is kind of a sucky searchlight, but it, hey, you're getting your site pimped anyway. Biff.profeca with a PH for the F sound.com. But let's move on to something that we're going to be looking at a little bit more enthusiastically, because we kind of got an idea already. The spotlights! Ta-da! There's your sound effect.
Ta-da! You know, you've lost privileges to make fun of my computer if those are the lame-ass sound effects you're going to come up with. It's a little better. Do you have one? Do you have a spotlight?
I do. I remember the one I was trying to do last time that I did something else. I did my number two. Today I got my number one. But go ahead. You said you had one.
All right. I do have one, actually. It's actually a series of smaller comics, but if you head over to webcomicsnation.com /Lonnie Allen, and we'll get the link in the show notes. I'm pimping out a fellow Squidworks member almost entirely on his 24-hour comic, which is titled Reset. And there's a little drop-down where you can go to the different comics. Lonnie's work is always artistically sound. It's always very thoughtful and introspective. Sometimes almost naked raw. I really appreciate that. Not naked raw. Christ. Yeah, his wife's gonna be loving this one. It's very, very base and very open, and I appreciate Lonnie's work a great deal, and I know that it's underappreciated. It's not terribly highbrow. It's, you know, last time I was on, I pimped the Thinking Ape Blues, which, you know, a lot of people may have gone over their heads a little bit, but I've never found that with Lonnie's work, and he has a very unique style, and the comics are, it's good writing and good artwork, and definitely worth the read.
Yay!
And now we move to Fess.
Yeah, I got one. Marsh Rocket at marsh-rocket.com. It's something I've been reading for a long time, and back when I was doing my minute reviews, it was always something I meant to do, but it was too deep of an archive for me to really review in a minute. But it's really cool. It doesn't have that many colors in it, but it has a really good use of color. It's as if the colors chosen for each particular page, or at least a wave of pages or scenes, I would say, are based upon maybe the mood or something like that. Like, sometimes there'll be blues, and like in the recent one right now, blues and purples are most prominent. There's been others where yellows and reds, as in really just no more than yellow and red, along with the black and white inking and everything. And I think it's a really cool, it's very unique. I haven't really seen anyone use coloring like this anywhere. So it's one of my favorites. At the beginning, well, it starts, I don't quite remember, because the names don't really come up that often, and I keep forgetting, but there is a guy, I believe his name is Marsh Rocket, and there's like spies, and there's like crime, and all sorts of good times, stuff like that. Not safe for work, because it's going to be, oh man, if you click back just a few, blood everywhere, and murder, and kidnappings, and
that isn't safe work.
And story, and it's just awesome. What does it say? What?
Blood isn't safe for work. I thought it was just boobies.
I don't know. It might not.
It's perfectly safe for work.
Really? Well, then watch it. Look at it at work. Then
unless you work at a church or something. But
yeah.
Well,
it's pretty sweet. Yeah, Marsh Rocket is the main protagonist's name. Quickly bumps into a girl named Rose, which works for the Zodiac Mafia, and it looks like there's a few different affiliations. Which they have they have a nice cast page. I applaud the cast page, because they have one, and most people don't have a good cast page. Gives their age, gives their affiliation in the world that's going on, Victor's team, Zodiac Mafia, the Ox Forces, miscellaneous, blah, blah, blah. Good way to keep track of characters when you're going through the story. I can't recommend this comic enough for people that like a little bit of romantic interest, suspense, drama, action. Check out marsh-rocket.com.
Wow.
And I'm done.
And then we're done. We just finished.
That's it? You don't have anything more?
Do we have anything more?
Let me...
I asked for news. Nobody gave me news.
Miles.
We had a newsless freaking week.
Milestones. Milestones. The best of what's left. Aaron's webcomic, which is drawn by a 4-year-old kid. No, I'm just kidding. He's going to be hitting... I'm just kidding, because he usually says that. It is hitting its 100th strip. And that's at, tbolt-comic.com, or?
Darn it.
I don't remember. I have it bookmarked, so. And also we have, where is it? Oh, yes, Twisted Musings celebrated its 200th cartoon. That's at twistedmusings.com.ua. Oh, wait, A-U.
I'm like, UA? The hell is that?
UA? also, he wants to be put up for Searchlight, so okay. I'll keep that in there. Does anybody else have any milestones that they'd like to report?
Listen to the deafening silence.
Actually, I need to take this time to say, if you're sending milestone reports to my personal email, I will most likely forget. you need to send them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. And I also like to say thanks to everyone who's been sending in guest spot requests to be a guest host. We're going to start doing that a little bit more often. These are not interviews. We're not here to mainly talk about you on the show. It's to help talk about the topic. Of course, we will, introduce you and plug your site for a bit, but we're not going to go into great depth or anything. So get the listeners involved and see if we can have a little bit more fun. And I'm going to try to go back to the people that first started asking. They were more so asking for interviews. Right. I'm going to ask if not an interview, and you know what I just said.
Wow. Yeah, that was crystal clear. If you think you can handle this kind of commentary on a weekly basis, maybe they should contact us.
Yes, we are also looking for more people to enter the chat room for TalkShoe, because we are going to be, as usual, we're broadcasting live all but the second Sunday of the month, and in place of the second Sunday, the Saturday before the second Sunday, because Tanya has to wuss out and go to some something. But anyway, more people in the chat room. You can call in live on TalkShoe during usually like the news part or something like that, through your own phone through TalkShoe, or you can try calling us in US 1+320-310-0922, or 320-310-0TWB.
Ooh.
Wait. No, TCB. Damn it. I screwed up. Hello. Whatever. The number's on the site and whatever. Okay, now looking in the chat room.
there was brief talk of boobs. We've gone to...
yes, can use Skype instead. Text us first. Usually like the third section of the show. We're pretty good.
What are we talking about next week?
I don't know.
Let's get them ready so that they know. So they can be prepared.
I need to contact Lego Star Galactica to talk about Legos, but I haven't set that. I should set that up. I just got two blah 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 blah, but I gotta really set up that Lego thing. How about next week we talk about character depth?
I think that's a great boobies. We have at least one request for boobies. I actually think character depth would be good. I was recently pinged on my lack of character depth, so maybe we can get somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about on.
We could get we could probably get a couple of different people on there. I'll look through the people that have submitted, and I'll look for people who have shallow characters, and I'll look for people. What a way to single people out.
That's nice.
Yeah, it could be a fun thing. I think I got a really funny idea for the cover for that one, too. But also, if anybody out there is interested in doing a cover for the Beacon, that is the little graphical image that we put up with when we put each show out, also give us a contact at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. If we don't have anybody in line, we can let people do a second one. Otherwise, we pretty much will only let one person go at a time and then just keep going down the list. I know we have a couple of people interested in doing another one. This week has been about... what have we been talking about?
We've been talking about open source programs and file formats, and I think we should make Al do the cover.
Yeah, because I have no freaking idea how to draw that. I mean, I would like to someone to try to incorporate Becky into it. That's the webcomic Beacon Girl. Send us an email at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Is there anything else we need to talk about?
I guess I should throw a mention out there because it's not an open source program, but there's another one out there called paint.net.
Oh.
Which is getpaint.net.org, I think. Not in front of my computer at the moment.
Paint.
Yeah, that one's only Windows-based, though, so...
Where's that? There's one that's like a Photoshop copy where you can, like, mess with it in the browser. I forgot what that was.
That's something that Adobe set up, and I believe you can access that via their main site.
Really? Oh, I gotta find that somewhere, but it's a very fairly...
Nice. Get paint.net, Hans says.
Get paint.net.
That's what it is.
Net.
I don't use it too often.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this too, yeah. So, all right, awesome. We'll get all these links in the show notes for people to try out some new programs or whatever. I've been told that it's best if you start a new project, even a little side project, when dealing with a new piece of software, so you don't constantly have to think back to how you've been normally doing something that's been tried and true forever and get frustrated. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. It's just a matter of workflow. You get used to something, and no matter what the interface, whether or not people say it's supposed to be better or not, you still have to get used to a new interface. So it's a very valid point.
Awesome.
We're done.
All right. We are so done. Everybody in the chat room, thanks for coming. Hey, you're supposed to be hosting.
I've tried. I'm trying. Thank you in the chat room, everyone, for coming. We appreciate your comments. And thank you very much, Al, for putting up with us and giving us all that lovely information.
And, you're very welcome.
And I still think we should make you do the cover, and there should be a butt.
What?
Al's 24-hour comics always have a butt. It's just a naked butt.
A moon.
A moon, so to speak.
And then decapitation with shotgun. So that's always fun.
Yeah, that was different. That was new.
Time,
all right.
It's time to go.
We're going now. Thank you very much for coming. Come back next week. This is Tanya of Betapwn.com.
This is Fess of PSIWebcomic.com.
And this is Al.
See you next week. Bye.
That's all for The Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.